future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who would it now?
Man, that was really hot. Last year, some injuries along the way as Smith drives a deep left field. That goes Azekar over his head and off the top of the wall. Down to third goes Hummel, and the umpire's now indicating home run. Cam Smith trots around the bases for the fourth time this spring.
Well, welcome into the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. That from Sports City Home Network. A home run, the fourth home run from Astros uber prospect Cam Smith. You heard that again, courtesy of Sports City Home Network. So we're going to obviously today, and welcome in bullpen ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. I am Brian McDonald, joined by not that Cam Smith, but another Cam Smith, one that I like almost as much as the other Cam Smith.
Almost
as much.
I'm almost there.
Almost there. Yeah, I don't know. See, the other Cam Smith's done more for me. He's hit four home runs. What have you done? How many home runs have you hit for me, Cam? You've hit none.
Cooked food for you before.
Oh, that's true. Ah. You did make a shrimp taco. Okay. All right. So home runs, shrimp tacos. Some days I'd rather have the shrimp taco. We'll talk about that another time, though. Johnny Bellmer, as you heard, back behind the glass with us. And we are the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. If you want to join in on the conversation, give us a call or a text on the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. So, of course, we're going to pay attention to the college basketball going on today. There's a game on right now with McNeese State and Purdue. And unfortunately for McNeese State, the madness is not continuing. They currently trail Purdue 38-20. So looks like, I guess, chalk is being returned to the bracket, at least for now, in that matchup. But we'll get to that later in the show. Right now, we got to talk about the Astros because, as you heard coming into the show, Cam Smith hasn't stopped hitting. And it feels like we're having a pretty similar conversation each week. It's like, okay, well, now has he done enough? Okay, well, now has he done enough? And it's getting tougher and tougher, I think, to deny that Cam Smith is getting close to earning a spot on this team, or at least put himself in a spot where he gets kind of like a three week vacation down in Sugarland before he comes up, you know, before the start of May. But I don't know. Cam Smith, it feels pretty hard right now to keep Cam Smith down.
It does. And I remember we talked about this last week, and I was definitely on the plane of let's send him down, bring him up maybe like mid-season.
Right.
But he hasn't stopped.
He's hit two home runs this week.
He hasn't stopped producing.
No.
And at this point, you need as much talent and offense on the opening day roster to where now I'm at this point where I'm like, you know what? If he's going to continue this streak through spring training, why not? Like, is there a better argument to be made now to keep him from the big league roster? Like, I don't think there is.
Yeah, like, I mean, and I put this on our rundown. I mean, you look at his stats. I mean, look, I get it. Spring training stats don't matter. They absolutely do not. But Cam Smith is hitting .371 with a .1221 OPS, four home runs, including two this week. And here's the thing. Like, his first two home runs came off right off the bat, like his first spring training game. So this has been 3 weeks ago at this point. He hits two home runs this week. And the knock on Cam Smith, in addition to, well, he'd only played five games above the single-A level before spring training. So he's obviously being drafted last year, only five games above single-A. He didn't have a lot of big-time experience, right? He hasn't faced top competition, and that had been true through the first part of spring training, where even when he was getting hits, you looked at like the average pitcher he was going against, it was kind of like a double-A level pitcher. That's who he was facing. But this week, his two home runs were off of two actual major league pitchers with years of experience, veterans, not some rookie or some single-A prospect who's 19. He's now starting to do this against legit competition, so I think that's starting to push me, because I've been with you, I've been with Johnny, and Johnny weighing in here in a second, but I've been on the side of, let's maybe talk to him in May. Let's maybe talk to him in June. The kid's had five bats above the single A level. He was drafted last June. This is way too quick. But now they started to do this against actual major league competition, and you're starting to get a fuller picture of, man, they don't really have any other options. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and we talk about like the hitting numbers, and I think I touched on this a couple weeks ago too. It's like, but he is seeing the ball really well. Like you would think like a young kid being caught up, he would just be heavy swinging, striking out a lot, but he's not. Like he only has 10 strikeouts. He's got 5 or 6 walks. Like he is doing his thing. And at this point, like there's a reason why they wanted to include him in that package when they traded Tucker away. So
yeah, he's obviously the jewel of it so far.
Yeah. So if he was the main piece to that package and he's doing what he's doing now, I just don't see how you can make an argument to where let's just wait. Like obviously, if he starts on the opening day roster and he's struggling a little bit, okay, maybe send him down, let him get back into like the swing of things. But to keep him off the roster for the sole reason of he just got drafted last year and he hasn't seen a whole lot of talent, like I don't know if I can make that argument anymore.
Yeah, and Johnny, yeah. Please weigh in after what I'm about to say here, but. Getting to the last part of what I mentioned, like it's getting harder and harder to make the case to keep him down when you look at the options around him. And that's kind of the thing. Like you were hoping that Chaz was going to come into the spring training and get back to being 2023 Chaz, where he was maybe the second best hitter on the team. You're hoping that Jake Myers might, take a step forward. But I mean, he's been okay this spring, but Chaz has been awful, by the way. But he, you know what Jake Myers is, over his career. And you're hoping that Jose Altuve was going to at least make the routine plays. And we'll get to more of Jose Altuve in a minute. But you're hoping he was going to at least make the routine plays in the outfield. And now he's dropping routine fly balls. So as all these things are happening around in Cam Smith, the things are like, well, we should try Chaz out. Well, let's see what Jose Altuve can do in left field. As those questions in things that were other options before are starting to seem like not options now, like how do you justify to keep Cam Smith down if everyone else around him is sucking and he's excelling?
Exactly.
Johnny?
I mean, DeCenzo has been pretty good. I mean, can he play right field?
I don't know if he's done it a lot. He definitely is. He's played third. He's played a little bit of second. I don't know.
Here's the reason I asked that.
Okay.
My point is I'd like to see somebody else out on right field to start the season and not Cam Smith on the roster, the major league roster. The reason I say that is because, one, this is a hometown guy who's very young and hasn't faced a lot of talent. And so I think what you're doing here and I think what the fan base is doing is getting very excited by, like, a very good performance in spring training. But, like, it's a shiny new car, and you want it to be great. Sure. Right away. But here's the thing. I mean, like, this guy is not under a lot of pressure right now. As soon as the season starts and everybody's got their eyes on him, he's going to be under a ton of pressure to perform. As soon as he gets to the major league level, all eyes are going to be on him. I think it's best here to just pump the brakes on him, slow down, let him develop. He's very young. He recently drafted. How many guys? Even if he was a top prospect on another team, if somebody was drafted and brought up that quick, we'd all kind of go, well, that's very quick.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to pump the brakes and let him grow a little bit, and then when the time is ready, then you can bring him up and put him in right field. Why are we in a rush to do this right this minute?
Well, I'll tell you one of the reasons. Did you hear what his teammate Mauricio Dubon said to him?
Oh, yeah.
Said about him the other day. Cam, did you see this quote?
I did.
Mauricio Dubon, who might need to be tested for something after this quote, because I love Cam Smith, but this is a bit out there. He, to paraphrase, said Cam Smith will be the next 60 home run guy. I mean, I'm kind of leaning to the side of let's bring this kid to the show. But after seeing that, like, I have to maybe go over more to Johnny's side. Like, okay, I like Cam Smith, but 60 home run guy? I mean, I outside of Aaron Judge, who's been the, like, 60 home run guy before that? Was it Sosa and McGuire? Like, I'm trying to think of Bonds. Like, I think it's only Aaron Judge.
What's his name on the Mets almost get there 1 year?
Pete Alonso had a 50 home run year. So did Prince Fielder. He's had a 50 home run year. There's been guys that have gotten to the 50s, but I think outside of the known enhancers, shall we put.
There we are.
I think that's the most politically correct way to say that. I think outside of the known enhancers, Aaron Judge is the only guy that's gotten to 60, you know, basically in our lifetime. So I don't.
60 home runs over 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll be ecstatic for that.
That would even be optimistic, considering we don't know when he's going to come up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think Johnny's ultimately right. And Johnny being the voice of maturity and reason and logic here is a new – I think that's a new one for Johnny. He's normally someone that advocates for rat torture. And now he's out here being the voice of reason. But I think he's right. Look, I think the worst thing you could do is – like, of all the scenarios that could happen here, the worst thing you could do is set back his development, right, with Cam Smith. The worst thing you could do is have him come up before he's ready. He struggles. You ruin his confidence. And then it takes him however long to get back to the point that he's already at now. So I do think the best plan for the Astros over these next few months is to send him down to AAA, let him crush it, you know, basically, you know, all of April, and then see where we're at in May. And I think you also, not that I'm expecting anything from these guys, I think you also owe it to Chaz McCormick to give him at least a chance to show that 2024 was the blip. Because 2023, he was great.
Yeah.
And every year before that, he was at least slightly above average. Like, last year was the only year where he was just downright terrible. So I'd like to give Chaz McCormick the chance to show, it was 2024, you know, his new normal? Or was that the blip? Was that the outlier? And he's actually at least an above-average outfielder, above-average hitter. And then you can live with, you know, what Jake Myers does, and we'll see what, you know, on Jose Altuve. And let's get to the Jose Altuve part of this on the other side of the break. So don't go anywhere. ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. If you want to join in, talk about Cam Smith, Jose Altuve, or anything else going on with your Astros, give us a call or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. Bullpen, we'll be right back.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. You can find us on social media. I am at Sack by BMAC on X. Cam is at Clutch City Cam, and Johnny's at Third Coast Johnny, the number three RD, Third Coast Johnny. So we talked this first segment about Cam Smith, and I think we're all in agreement. Like, we're very excited. I think Johnny is the most mature and reasonable one of the three of us. But I think we're all on the side of, let's maybe wait a couple of weeks, right? I think that's where we're at. Now, the one thing that could change my mind is if Jose Altuve drops a few more easy pop-ups. Like, every time he drops a pop-up, my percentage chance that Cam Smith makes the roster moves up about 5-10%. Every single time. It was like, he should have caught that. Now it's at 35. Oh, there's another one that hit the ground. Now we're at 45. And, we saw the play, I guess it was a few weeks ago at this point, where he was going backwards. He was feeling for the wall, trying to get a gauge of where he was, you know, on the warning track and whatnot. I guess just lost all, you know, realization of where he was and lit what should have been an out drop and turned into a triple. And that was already bad enough. But he had made some plays before that, up to that point, you know, going back, making runs on, catches on the run, going towards the gap, to where I think a lot of us were willing to let that one go. But now, back-to-back days this last week, he had easy, just absolutely easy routine balls that he dropped, like trying to transfer and throw, which is a problem because I think he's trying to cheat on it because he knows, as we all know, his arm sucks. His arm sucked as a second baseman, and now he's in the outfield. And the base runners also happen to know that, and you know they're going to test him every single time. So, like, I've heard people on this station say, well, that's an easy fix. He drops a pop fly. He's a major league player. He's been in the league since whatever. It's an easy fix. Well, I don't like that logic because while I hear what they're saying, it's something that is easy. the fact that a guy who's 34 been in the majors since 2011, I believe, if it's so easy and it's so correctable, then why didn't he do it the two times where he dropped the ball, right? Like there's a gap in the logic there where you're saying, well, this is very fixable because it's easy. Well, if it's easy and fixable, then why didn't he do it? Yeah, there must be some sort of problem there.
You can't just assume because he's been such a great baseball player the last 13, 14 years that he can just switch positions and be okay. Like it doesn't work that way. Like I mentioned this, second base and outfield are two completely different.
Well, the reaction time is different.
It's two completely different positions. You cannot just assume that you can throw a guy in left field and because he's been good for so long at another position that he's going to be able to just fix these mistakes. Like it's just not going to happen that way. Like clearly this experiment is not working. And it's unfair to him too because it's just like,
well, I think he wanted to do it though.
I think he wanted to do it.
Or maybe he's just being a good soldier.
He was thinking that Bregman was going to come back and he wanted to be like a team player. But Bregman didn't come back. So why are we still trying to have this Altuve in the outfield experiment? Like it's not happening. Like and the fact that he's dropping balls and he's misplacing when he's trying to throw it back in, those are going to be crucial errors when the regular season starts.
Yeah. I don't know what the right answer is. I really think this is starting to become a situation where there is no right answer. Because the right answer, I think, is he needs the DH. But he can't because we have to protect Yordan Alvarez at all costs. Now, he could DH in the games where Yordan plays in left field. But, I mean, last year Yordan played, I think, 52 games in left field. And even that felt like probably a little too much, a little too risky. So, I mean, there's going to be a good chunk of the season where DH is not available to Jose Altuve. And we've seen I think he won his gold glove in 2015. And we've seen, now, some people don't buy into these metrics, don't buy into these stats, and that's fine. That's another argument for another day. But if you look at the stats for like defensive runs saved, those sort of things that grade out defensive players, Jose Altuve, since he won that gold glove in 2015, has been a steady decline down to the point where he's been bottom three or the worst second baseman defensively in the entire league. Like the last 3 years. So he doesn't have a home at second base. You can't play him at DH. I'm with you that it's been bad and probably will continue to be bad in left field. But if you're Joe Espada, and he's already been on record saying he's primarily going to be a left fielder this year, he's sticking to his guns on this. I don't know what the answer is. If you're Joe Espada, you're able to Freaky Friday into Joe Espada's body. And now I'm doing radio with Joe Espada because you're the Astros manager. I mean, are you throwing Jose Altuve back at second base? What's your answer?
Yeah. I get that he has performed defensively, like you said, worse and worse each year. But that doesn't mean that you just move him to another position. It's kind of like Marcus Semien. Every year, he's got 20-something plus errors at second baseman or second base.
Yeah.
But they don't move him to a different position.
Because he'll be even worse?
Because he'll be even worse. And it's just kind of like, who are you going to play at second base?
It'll be Dubon, who's won a gold glove.
But Dubon has played outfield and has done well in the outfield. So that's why I don't understand, why wouldn't you just throw Dubon in the outfield, who has played the outfield hundreds of times, compared to Altuve, who has never played outfield his entire life?
Yeah, go ahead, Johnny.
I think that is what I was kind of leaning towards here, is why not just, go with the best result that I think you're going to get here is put Altuve back at second and have Dubon play left field. But also, I'm not ready to give up on Altuve in left field either. You go from playing second base your whole career to then adjusting to, like Cam said earlier, they're two different positions, but it's totally different tracking a baseball and getting those mechanics back of, like you said, transfer once you catch it, quickly transferring it to get a throw back into the infield. I think that's just this is him in spring training just kind of going through those motions and getting that back. I think he is a professional baseball player and can figure that out here at some point. I know we've seen two ugly examples, okay? And I cringed at him just like everybody else did. But I think it's Jose Altuve, And I think we need to give him just a little bit. I seen people on Twitter yesterday saying this is tarnishing his legacy. Give me down. A break.
Settle down.
I think it'll be fine. It'll be okay. Most of his games in left field will be in that short left field section at Minute Maid, and I think he'll be okay.
Daikin Park, first off. Let's get the sponsor right. It's the icebox now, baby.
I don't want to call it
that. I know. I don't want to either. It's weird. So let's attack part of what you said there from two angles. Well, and this is part of what you said as well, Cam. Let's first go to like the whole Dubon versus Altuve thing. And I hear your logic in, well, Dubon's the guy with experience in the outfield, so put him in the outfield, and it completely makes sense. But if Jose Altuve has to play, which of course he has to play because you need his bat. He's the greatest player in Astros history. So if he's going to be playing and you can't play him at DH because Yordan takes it up, I think what we're talking about with Dubon, like if Dubon and Altuve are both going to play, now you're kind of just asking the question of where do we want the better defensive player? And second base is the more premium defensive position than left field, especially from what Johnny mentioned with the short porch at Daikin Park because of the Crawford boxes. Now, I think the way I'm looking at it is when Fromber, like if Fromber or Hunter Brown, who are both ground ball pitchers, are pitching at home with the short porch, Jose Altuve should be the left fielder. Try to make it work. And they give those pitchers who rely on getting outs on the ground ball the best possible defensive player they can have at second base, which is Mauricio Dubon, not Jose Altuve. But when they're on the road, when those other pitchers who are more fly ball pitchers are on the mound, then maybe we switch. And I think Joe Espada is just trying to give his guy a vote of confidence. He's saying, oh, he's going to be our primary left fielder. Like, what's he going to say? Oh, yeah, he sucks. This is not. What is he going to say? Oh, this hasn't
Definitely
gone. This hasn't gone
that.
Well. Oops. Like, he's not going to say that. He's going to have to. If they're going to still try to make this work, which they have to, because Jose Altuve, unfortunately, is a player without a home defensively, then he's going to have his guys back. But I think this could be a situation where Jose Altuve is basically not a utility player because he's going to start every day. But I think it's going to depend on home road. It's going to depend, is it a ground ball pitcher or a fly ball pitcher? And he's going to have time both at second base and in left field.
Yeah, and I mean, you make a good point when it comes to like ground ball and fly ball pitchers. And so like that might work, but I don't like the quote of saying he's going to start the majority of games at like left, like in the outfield. Like
it'll be left field. He can't play center or right.
Well, definitely not. I guess it's just going to have to be one of those that's just a day-by-day thing. Like, it just depends.
I think it will be.
It depends on
who's
on the mound for the opposing team, who's on the mound for the Astros, and then just, like, take it day-by-day. And, I mean, we saw this with Craig Biggio. Like, and Craig Biggio honestly had to go play at a harder position in center field.
He had to go up damn Taos Hill.
And it wasn't terrible, but... And obviously they did it because they brought in like Jeff Kent so Craig Biggio had to like go somewhere.
And then
somewhere.
He moved to left field because of Beltran.
Yeah. So we've seen this experiment kind of work before for the Astros. So maybe it'll be okay with Altuve. It's just hard to – and honestly, too, maybe him playing in Minute Maid, obviously that's a different stadium than playing in an outdoor spring training stadium where it's just in Florida, like the wind, like all that sort of stuff.
When they're playing at home, he's not going to, most days, because they barely open the roof. Yeah. I mean, they open it occasionally, but not very often. He's not going to have to read the wind. There's not going to be a wind pushing the ball out or wind pushing the ball in or something swirling.
Or a sun, like directly
sun
like,
in his eyes.
Face.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it's just we're going off of what we're seeing in spring training, and I guess it's just weird that we've seen Altuve at second base for so long, and now we see him in the outfield. So I guess sometimes we can be like quick to judge and be like, oh, it's not going to work. So like I'm trying to like put the brakes on that, but it's just like the season's about to hit here. Like we're about to hit the season,
it's Thursday,
and you can make the argument that he hasn't gotten any better in the outfield, and now we're about to go against premium talent.
So here's the thing. This gets to the second half of what Johnny said, and I think he's right, and you kind of touched on a little bit too, is how long has he been playing the outfield in spring training? 3 weeks? And he's not playing every single day, and even when he does play, for the most part, he's not playing 9 innings. How long did he have to learn to be a second baseman? His entire damn life.
Exactly.
So I do think there has to be, And I mean, that's part of your point, I think, for why we don't want him in the outfield is because what he knows is second base. But if they're going to try to make this work, I think we also then have to have the patience and realize he had, I don't know how old he was. Well, he's 30, I think he's 34 now. So he had 33 years to try to learn how to and experience playing second base. He's had 3 weeks in the outfield. Like, he's going to need, to Johnny's point, he's going to need some time to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
The question will become, how long are they going to be willing to see him play poorly? How long are they willing to be, or how long are they going to allow him to drop balls that are easy routine plays before they go, okay, I know we wanted to try this. It's not working. This is losing us a game potentially. Now we got to pull the plug. I think that'll be the question for Joe Espada to answer. And it might be answered by how well the offense is doing overall, because I don't know. Like, they're wanting to do this. I guess they're wanting to do it. Yeah, they're obviously wanting to do it for mostly defensive reasons. But if they're winning games, I think they're going to be more willing to ride this experiment out. If they get off to a slow start like they did last year, where they're 10 games, you know, behind Seattle, you know, a couple weeks into May, and the offense is part of the reason, or Jose Altuve's defense is part of the reason, I think they're going to pull the plug.
Oh yeah, and that obviously winning and losing is going to be like the deciding factor. But like, to your point, like, exactly how long are we going to wait to see him try and improve before they're like, oh, we, you know what, this has been a mistake. Like, I wish I could like go back and like look at what Craig Biggio did and be like, all right, how long did it take him to like get into like a rhythm of like the outfield?
Because I mean, they eventually moved him back. So
yeah, well, because yeah, Jeff Kent was gone after two years, out of there.
And Chris Burke never took over the position.
Oh, Chris Burke.
Yeah.
That one game.
But I think the interesting part of this, and this is why I brought up the offensive side, because obviously this move is made primarily because, well, he sucks at that second base, so let's try to shift up where he's playing and put him at a less premium position. So primarily this move is defensive. But the reason I bring up how the offense is doing in regards to if they're winning or not is I think putting Jose Altuve in left field and then forcing Mauricio Dubon at second base, I think you're limiting your options as far as putting out the best offensive alignment. And that goes back to, do you have Zach DiZenzo? Do you have Cam Smith make the roster? Because if you're willing to have Jose Altuve at second base, then you could be in a spot where Cam Smith and Zach DiZenzo, if Chaz and Mauricio Dubon aren't hitting, are your corner outfielders along with Jake. And now you got, you know, your infield with Paredes, Pena, Altuve, Walker, Yainer Diaz behind the plate. You're not a DH. You're two young guys in the corner outfields. And now your only weak spot, possibly, is Jake Meyers. So I think that's a part of it. Like, if not only is it working out defensively, but is your offense doing well? Because if it's not, I think this lineup with Jose Altuve in left is limiting its total possibility. So I think that's really going to come down to, are they winning games and is the offense producing?
Zach DiZenzo better be on this team.
Yeah, Zach DiZenzo is hitting .415 in spring, .1137 OPS.
I do not want John Singleton to be the primary
backup. I don't think he's
going to
make the roster.
First baseman. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where they'll have DiZenzo's primary positions. He's played third, he's played second, he's played some outfield. I just think when you look at this, like, because obviously most of this lineup is accounted for. Yainer Diaz, Christian Walker once he gets back. Pena and Isak Paredes, Jake Meyers in center. But I think your best possible lineup, if we believe in Zach DiZenzo and Cam Smith, is having those two guys as your corner outfielders and then Jose Altuve back at second base. Because Mauricio Dubon, while I do value his glove and it makes sense to have him at second base for your best possible defensive alignment with Framber Valdez on the mound, he's not a plus offensive player. His OPS plus 2 years in a row has been below the league average. Yeah. So I know that we've kind of gone round in circles on this, but it really does feel like this is a question of get to May, see what the team's record is, see how the offense is producing. Because if the offense isn't producing, I think your best lineup is putting Jose Altuve, offensively that is, putting your Jose Altuve back at second base and then having Cam Smith and Zach DiZenzo in your corner outfield spots.
Yeah, and like obviously DiZenzo and Cam Smith, outfield is not their primary position.
No.
But if we're willing to experiment with Jose Altuve, why can't we experiment with two younger guys who would probably be more, I don't want to say more willing, because obviously Jose Altuve is willing to play the outfield, But if we can experiment with him, why can't we experiment with these two other guys in the outfield? Especially since, like you mentioned, DeZinzo has played other positions before. It sounds like he's kind of like that Mauricio Dubon guy where you can basically plug him in anywhere besides catcher and pitcher.
Yeah, and DeZinzo couldn't play short or center field either, but I think he's...
But that's fine. We wouldn't need him to play those positions.
You wouldn't necessarily need them because, I mean, you're going to roll with defensive players like Pena and Jake Meyers in those two positions anyway. Yeah, I really think this is going to be a situation where they probably send Cam, and this is kind of bringing it full circle. We'll go to break after this. But bringing it back full circle to Cam Smith, I think this is going to be a situation where they start the year trying it out with Jose Altuve in left field, giving Chaz a chance to prove that 2024 was, you know, the asterisk to his career, or like the outlier to his career, that he's actually a good offensive player. And if the team is winning and the offense is producing, then they'll probably keep rolling with that. But if the offense isn't producing and they're losing, then I think they're going to have to take a look at what is our best offensive lineup. And I don't think that's with Jose Altuve in left field, because Jose Altuve in left field means either Cam Smith or Zach DeCinzo doesn't have a spot to play.
Yeah, and if we're going to do it that way, if Cam Smith is not going to be on the opening day roster, then he needs to start playing in the outfield.
And he is.
In AAA.
When we started having this conversation, part of my reason, like, well, he's not going to make the roster because they only had him play third base.
Yeah.
Because we knew, like, well, if he's going to make the team, it's going to be in right field. And he wasn't playing right field. He is now playing right field in spring training. So I do think once they send him down, it kind of like what happened when Joey Loperfido got sent down last year, where he was an outfielder, and then when he got sent down to AAA, they started experimenting with him at first base to see if there was an option there because of how poorly Jose Abreu had played. So I think what we'll see is he gets sent down to AAA, and he's immediately going to be starting off in right field. But other side of the break, let's continue this over with the Astros. We got to get to Lance McCullers Jr. had a start on Tuesday. Wasn't very long, but went pretty well, and we got some unfortunate news with another Astros starter, that, of course, being Luis Garcia. That, when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back into The Bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you. You can hit us up on the HRMP listener line at 713-780-3776. As we had someone just text in a few minutes ago as my phone tries to load. This is great. Here we go. From 8437, bad Altuve defense will be a lot easier to swallow if he's also out there hitting home runs and hitting 300+. Which, I mean, I agree with the sentiment overall. Now, his batting average did dip below 300 last year, and his home runs, where he'd had a couple seasons recently where he'd been up at like 27, 31, like his power's really surging. It was 19 last year, and his Vegas line, I believe, was like 17.5. So I think we're starting to see some signs of, you know, the natural age decline there. Not that he's going to be a bad offensive player by any means. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But, yeah, I don't know if... If, like, because you're right, like 30 home runs, 31 home runs, hitting, like, he's won obviously 3 batting titles. If you were telling me batting title, 31 home runs, he could drop almost every single ball that was hit to him. I probably would not care. But I think we're kind of, okay. I exaggerate for effect. Yes. But I think there's the sliding scale of what you're willing to overlook for the offense is starting to go the other way, unfortunately, because, I mean, it does that when you're 34, 35. You know, two of us know that. Johnny's got a couple more years to go, I think, before he gets to that age. But I think I'm right on that, right? Yeah, I think I'm right. Yeah, if I'm not right, you could just say I'm right, and then you could age yourself down. So anyway, I'm a little bit distracted. I'm just going to get this off my chest right now. And, I mean, obviously there's college basketball going on. Purdue's putting an absolute beating on McNeese State right now, 53-28. So it looks like the run of Amir Khan is going to end here. And let's see, there's 15:47 to go in the second half. But not only am I, you know, trying to pay attention to the tournament, see how my bracket's doing, but And I can't. This is a sentence that I didn't think I'd be saying in 2025. I think you're both going to laugh at me, but I've made four trips to GameStop in the last 2 days.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I forgot GameStop was around.
See, and the first thing Johnny's going to say is like, "Why aren't you just downloading your games, bro?"
Well, I just can't. I cannot think of a reason why you would need to do that.
Okay, so here's the reason. I had to get this chest. We get this off my chest because it's been bothering me. And I think this will be, once I get this resolved, because there's at least one more trip to GameStop in my future.
Is this a confession?
Huh?
Is this a confession?
No, not really a confession. It's just annoying. It's poor customer service and a bad business and reasons why Cam didn't know they exist here still in 2025. So I mostly downloaded my games just directly from the console, right? Why bother going out when you can download? Why wait for the store to open at 10 when you can just download and get it at midnight, right? It's not worth the hassle. The only reason I sometimes buy games still from GameStop is if it's a game that I know I'm going to play for like a month and then be done with it, right? Because then I have the opportunity to trade it back in. I know the trade value is going to be crap, but at least you're getting, you know, if you spent 70, maybe you get 15 back and you can go towards the next one. So whatever. But like a game like College Football 25 where I know I'm going to play it the entire way, I just download it because I'm not trading it anyway. Well, the new Assassin's Creed came out.
I knew this is where we were going.
You knew this is where I was going?
Me and my friend were just talking about Assassin's Creed yesterday.
So Assassin's Creed Shadows just came out yesterday. And so I decided to buy it. I had pre-ordered this from GameStop like last October because this game was originally supposed to come out in November. It just kept getting pushed back. So I go to GameStop yesterday, the one closest to me. And, you know, I pre-ordered it, you know, come in, hey, man, you know, pre-ordered Assassin's Creed, blah, blah, blah. He puts a PlayStation 5 copy on the counter. One problem, I only own an Xbox Series X. I've never owned a PS5. So, and he's like, well, I was like, well, that's, you know, a place that you gave me the wrong one. I, you know, Xbox, that's PlayStation, whatever. He's like, oh, no, you pre-ordered PlayStation 5. I looked at him like, bro, I've never owned a PlayStation 5. There's no reason I would have ordered a PlayStation 5 version of this game. But I was like, you know, no big deal. Just, you know, give me an Xbox version. He's like, well, we only get the amount of copies in to match our pre-orders. So we don't have any extra copies. It's like, you didn't get a single extra copy, which, because I used to work at GameStop. So some of this is like, I know where the BS is because I used to say some of this BS. Yeah. I was like, you order extra copies. It's like, no, we only have the reserve copies, and they're on hold for 48 hours. So you come by and on Sunday and see if anyone doesn't pick up their game. It's like, all right, whatever. Like, can we look to see if any other locations got extra games? It's like, no, I can't look that up, which, spoiler alert, he can.
Okay.
Yeah, he can. He can and chose not to. So I looked it up. I left the store, went to the remote yesterday at Carbach Brewing, which is a great spot. Go out there and watch your games. I left there. I looked up on my phone, like during downtime, what stores had copies of the game. Went to another location in Humble, so not far away from where I was. It's right by the Deerbrook Mall, and they had a copy. Great. So what I needed to do then, because I put like $60-something down on this game, like I almost paid it off completely. So what I needed them to do was to cancel it, call the other store. Cancel that pre-order, put it on a gift card. Let me put that gift card towards the purchase of this game, right? Something, again, from my past life working at GameStop, we did all the time. It's easy. You cancel it. You put that amount on the gift card. You read the person on the phone, the gift card number. They apply it to the charge in and out the door in 3 minutes. But it was the person there just, you know, it was one of the kind of feigned ignorance. Like, I don't think we can do that. And then I listened to her. Talk to the person she calls, like, I've never done this before. So that's what the answer
that's
was.
That's what it is.
It wasn't that you don't do this. It's like, she had no experience. She didn't call the other store. The other store also had no experience with this. And like, no, you're going to have to go to that store and cancel it and then take the gift card and come back to us. I was like, at this point, I've got food in the car. You know, I'm on my way home from work. I was like, okay, fine. I'll do that tomorrow, whatever. And I left the store, where I almost left the store. Right before I left, like, well, can you hold this copy for me? I'll pick it up tomorrow. She's like, no, I don't think we can do that. I'm like, what do you mean you can't do that? Again, having worked there, yes, you can. You can hold it for 24 hours. That's all I'm asking for.
The struggle is real.
So I go to the Kingwood location today. I get them to cancel it. I get it put on the gift card. I drive over to the store in Humble. Apparently, they have different hours than every other GameStop they don't open till 11, so I just had to leave and come here because our show starts at noon, and I've, you know, it's a bit of a drive coming for Mumble. So now I'm going to have to go back there on my way home today to finally get this game, making it five stops at a GameStop to get one game.
You better hope Assassin's Creed is the greatest game you've ever played.
If it sucks, I will tell you guys right away because I will be – expectations at this point. I mean, again, the game was supposed to come out in November. It's now obviously March 22nd. It's March 22nd. This game's 5 months late from when it was supposed to originally be launched. And I've had to go to five GameStops to get this damn game. So anyway, I'm a little bit distracted. Yeah, make me state onto that, and I'm a little bit distracted. Johnny, looks like you have something
a question
to say. Okay,
yes.
Please.
Okay.
Is it why am I so old that I'm going to GameStop? Is that the question?
Well, no, but I have other questions about how old you are. But no, this is I'm curious why people and why it sounds like, and I didn't get the whole story. We just kind of got, you know, a piecemeal story there. But
sure.
But it sounds like when they told you, we can't do the gift card thing over the phone. You have to go back, cancel it, and then bring the – that you sort of just accepted it. See, I've been in situations like that before.
Okay.
Where you can say, I used to work here.
I
know how it works. Can I tell you how to do it? Like push just a little bit against it and like,
see,
try to get them to do it?
Part of that is I did. Like, I mentioned in past, like, it's like, well, I used to – you know, work here. I know, you know, how to do this. This is something we did like on a regular basis. And her answer is like, well, I think the policy might have been changed. And it was, I had food in the car. My wife and kid are waiting on me. It's like, this girl was probably like 23 years old. Am I going to be the 6'3", 40-year-old white man yelling at a woman in a store while the food for my wife and kid gets cold in the car?
Nobody said yelling, but.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
when you prepaid for it, hell yeah!
I didn't want to cause a scene. I think as I've gotten older, I'm more cognizant of, like, especially given my size, I don't want to be the big burly white guy yelling at some employee in the store. I don't know. I just don't want to end up on social media as it check out, you know, cis male.
I mean, I get that because, like, I feel like I'm like that these days. Like, if I like go out to like a bar and like my drink gets made wrong or it doesn't taste like great, like, I'm 99% of the time I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to like finish it because I don't want to have to deal with complaining about something. But like, that's different when it's like a $6 or $7 purchase. When you're dropping $80 on
like,
a game,
it's like 70, but still.
And
yeah,
you're like, the reason you did it is to pick it up at this store. And everybody's telling you, I don't know, I think, maybe. It's just kind of like, okay, well, just do it. Like,
yeah. Like, I think the main thing that, I mean, well, lots of things bug me in this transaction. But what bugs me the most is when an employee doesn't know, especially since I come from a background of knowing what you're supposed to do, having worked at a GameStop for like 3-4 years. I think what bothers me most is someone doesn't know how to do something. And because they're too lazy or unwilling to figure it out, they just say like, oh, we can't do that. This, you know, that's like store policy had changed. Like, no, it didn't.
Well, to be fair, how much are they getting paid? Like $10
an
hour or something?
There's also a reason. I mean, and that's part of why I didn't want to cause a scene.
Yeah.
Like, I know what this person makes because I made it, you know, right? Like for a number of years. So like, I don't want to dress down someone making like $12 an hour while I got food in the car getting cold. There's a line. Like, it's just like, you know what? I know I'm right, but I'm going to let this one go and fix it the next day. Unfortunately, as I described, though, it still hasn't been fixed. I made two trips to different GameStops this morning, and I got another one after the show.
Right, but like, it's not your fault.
I know
that's
it's
what
not
they
my
make,
fault.
And that's their job.
But I can't lean
GameStop
over the counter and just grab it. So what are my options?
I wouldn't do that either.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, like, what is my option at that point? Yell at her till she does it the way I told. I mean, like, I just felt like it was.
And you can make things happen without yelling. And I don't think
anybody's pull out your
advocating
dad
for you to scream.
Pull out my
at
dad
her
voice.
Oh yeah, I do that with my students all the time. I don't yell at them, but I will.
You just kind of lower your voice and get real serious.
I will get firm and be like, "Stop it!" Like, you pull out that dad voice, and all of a sudden they're like, "Oh,
so
he means business."
Maybe I should have gone Liam Neeson on him, like, I have acquired many skills.
Yes.
Over a four-year tenure at GameStop. Skills that now allow me to know how to get this transaction done, moving this gift card over for the purchase of Assassin's Creed Shadow. Should you choose not to accept this path, consequences will be had.
Yeah, and you would think with the fact that, like, everything is you're able to do it, like, online, and like you said, like, you can download games from your console, you'd think that GameStop would be like, oh, crap, but, we need to on our business about...
Yeah, part of it's like, you know your business is dying, right? Yeah. You should be willing to...
Hello, have you seen Blockbuster?
They've given up. So
yeah. Clearly the employees I've dealt with so far have given up. All right, we're way over. And we meant to talk about Lance McCullers. We'll do that on the other side of the break. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew... Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back into the Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Thank you guys for letting me get my GameStop rant off my chest. That I don't know if I'm fully relaxed yet because I still don't have a copy of the game in my hands, but I'm feeling a little bit better. If you want to call in and bash GameStop or join in the Astros conversation, please do. HRMP listener line 713-780-3776. And GameStop, if you want to sponsor this show, I will then say better things about you. But let's get to the GameStop of Astros pitching. Lance McCullers Jr. Oh, was that too mean?
Disrespectful.
Who is the GameStop of Astros pitching? 713-780-3776. No, but all right, let's pay proper respects to Lance, because I know Cam was very disrespectful last week to Lance McCullers when it came up. You were out. I mean, the disrespect from this side of the table was
astonishing. You just did it too, so.
I mean, you thought that was bad. That Cam was three times more disrespectful than I was. I kid, probably. Mostly.
It wasn't disrespect. It wasn't a lot of optimism.
Okay. Well, let's see where your optimism's at now, Cam. He finally made his spring training debut, threw one scoreless inning, got two grounds out, hit a guy, and so far is still healthy. So, I mean, all systems go, right? Like, we're good to go.
Oh, he's back.
Joe Tessitore once said Texas is back. Lance McCullers is back. Reaction, Cam.
I mean, I'm a little more.
Hear that sign? That was so disrespectful.
I'm a little more optimistic than I was the previous few weeks, but I'm still a little reserved because it's only one inning that he has pitched.
Scoreless, two ground outs, sir.
Yay again!
you it's disrespectful.
It's great seeing that, but like. I'm still not fully back on like the LMJ train. Like he is just that elbow got so beat up over the last few years that it's just like again, I need to see consistent games of five or six innings pitched before I'm like okay.
Well, I think the days of six inning starts are even like on the most optimistic side of things. I think we're probably done with that because like I am starting to get the feeling. And now this, I think you're probably going to say I'm going too far. I'm jumping to conclusions like, you know, Johnny Cuse is doing with Cam Smith. But I'm starting to think Lance McCullers Jr. is going to help this team more this year than their projected current fifth starter, Hayden Wesneski, who they got from the Cubs in the Kyle Tucker trade. Like, Wesneski is, I think he's just a guy. And look, Lance may not be back to May, but what we saw the last time he was out for a while, 2022, he was out for a while. He comes back in August and made eight regular season starts. Obviously, pitched in the playoffs in a game three of the World Series, which that game didn't go well. But in those eight regular season starts, he had an ERA sub three. Like he was just as effective. I don't think the stuff has gone away. Now it's going to take him time to hone it in, which is why he's going to go down. They've already said he's starting the season in AAA.
Yeah,
he's probably. Best case, not going to be back until sometime in May. But I think when he gets back, let's just call it May 15th. From May 15th on, I think he's going to help the team more than Hayden Wesneski. I'll go a step further. I think he helps the team from May 15th on more than Ronel Blanco. Am I crazy?
I don't think you're crazy, but like that's also like the thing for me. It's like, okay, if Lance is a serviceable five, like cool, but we need him to be more...
Do we, though? I mean, because... I mean,
yeah!
Well, that was emphatic, Cam. That was emphatic, damn. I didn't know you felt that way. All right. Maybe you could call GameStop for me. Maybe you use that voice and I'll get my game quicker. But look, I mean, Hunter Brown's your ace. Framber Valdez is your ace. Hunter Brown is a very good two who I think could be an ace on a number of teams. And we saw second half Spencer Arrighetti. I think I have the numbers down here on the bottom of the Google Doc as I scroll. Yes, second half of the season last year, because Spencer Arrighetti, his first half, not great. His ERA was 5.63, and his whip was 1.6, just really bad numbers. Second half of the year, though, his ERA was 3.18 with a 1.1 whip. Like, we saw Spencer Arrighetti take a massive step forward in the second half of the year. So we know who Framber is. I'm pretty sure we know who Hunter Brown is, because post when he added that sinker, like May 5th, from that point forward, he was one of the best pitchers in the American League. And you add to that Spencer Arrighetti, like, I don't even need him to be 3.18 like he was in the second half of last year. Let's just call it 3.75. If you get Ace Framber, what we saw last year from Hunter Brown, and even a little bit worse than what Spencer Arrighetti was in the second half last year as your 1-2-3, I don't know if you need a whole lot more out of Lance McCullers as the guy that could go out and just give you five innings, like two or three earned runs. Like, I don't really think you need more than that from him.
You might not. If this team is hitting and winning, then you don't. But, like, again, this is kind of like going back to like that like Altuve thing. Like, it just it depends on like where you're at. But I don't know. I need Lance to be more than like a five or a four. Like, I guess what I'm saying is
I think you're gonna be disappointed then, because obviously one and two, and obviously once you get into the regular season, who's one, who's two doesn't ultimately matter. It only really matters again in the postseason. But, I mean, Hunter and Framber are so good that Lance doesn't have to be your one or two. It's like the only spot you could say, like, I'd like him to be is your three. But what we saw last year with Spencer Arrighetti's second half, I didn't even bring up his strikeout numbers, which were near top of the American League again in the second half. Like, I don't think you need him to be any more than a four. Like, I mean, if he's a quality four and Arrighetti's who he was, same thing with Hunter, same thing with Framber. Like, I don't know. I get your sentiment. Like, you want Lance to be the Lance that we've seen before, and I totally get that. But I don't think this team necessarily needs him to be any more than a decent four.
Yeah, and I mean, like, true. I guess my, like, where I'm coming from is Framber, really great first half, not very great second half. Hunter Brown, not really.
Not last year, though. He was pretty good in the second half last year. I think you're thinking of 2023.
Maybe 20. I feel like with these,
because 2023, other than that no hitter he threw against Cleveland, like, his second half was pretty rocky. Yeah. I think you're thinking of that.
It just the starting lineup for pitchers just it concerns me, and so I'm unsure of like these guys. I just feel like it's been a while since anybody's put together like a real consistent solid entire season, and so because we keep talking about halves.
Yeah, see, I mean, you're right, but I still think it's a little unfair, because really with Framber, we're only talking about 2023, because 2022 was the year that he had that crazy long quality start streak.
Oh, yeah. It was a Cy Young season.
Right. I think he was top three in Cy Young that year. In 2024, I think he had a little bit of a blip in May, but basically the entire year, for, you know, four-fifths of the year, he was great. And Hunter Brown it's a long, like, he was he was basically unusable in April. We all remember the 11 runs he gave up against Kansas City in April last year. He was downright awful through April, but as soon as he added in the sinker, like, again, May 5th forward, so that's out of a six-month season, that's all but one of them. For May 5th forward, he was one of the best pitchers in the American League, yeah. So I don't really see it as, like, I get what you're saying. Like, they've had some ups and downs. Framber had a really rocky 2023. Hunter Brown had a really rocky April last year, but for most of last season, Spencer Arrighetti less so. His was like first half, second half. He falls more into the category you're talking about. But I think most of those guys, for the most part, have been pretty rock solid.
Yeah, maybe I'm just sounds like I'm. Just,
feel
maybe,
like I might just feeling be, the, you're might feeling just the be, stings. Yeah.
I might just be over.
You're feeling over the stings, Johnny. Where are you at? I know we got to get to break, but quickly, way here. Where's your optimism level with Lance McCullers?
I mean, it's better than it was, obviously. I mean, we got to see him on the mound throwing to live batters. You know, that was awesome to see. Very short, you know, little sweet set, you know. But only a couple batters. But
he gave up a run.
But and he didn't give up a run. He did hit a batter, which is a little.
Hey, he also – Cam and I were talking about this break. He also hit a batter in Game 7 of the World Series in 2017. So who cares?
Yeah, maybe it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
No, I'm feeling better about it, but I don't have any expectations for him at all. Whatever we get out of Lance McCullers Jr. is a bonus, whatever it is.
Haters. Hey. Dealing with a couple of haters over here.
I'm not saying we won't get it.
Did you guys see his teammates gave him a standing ovation when he came back to the dugout? Well, you guys over here poo-pooing him?
I would too. I don't hate the guy. Like Johnny said, I just don't have a lot
you're
of expectations.
Saying, his arm is trash. His coffee's trash. His haircut's stupid. That's why I'm hearing from you, Cam.
Oh, no.
Have you tried his coffee, Maven coffee?
I honestly did not know that he had.
Yeah, he has a coffee place called Maven.
I don't really drink.
I don't drink coffee. Yeah. So
is it like a Houston-based place? It's like a Houston-based coffee shop?
Yeah, yeah. It's an actual coffee shop, not just like
Maven. Actually, that does sound kind of familiar.
I think Maven. Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll...
I was hoping one of you guys drank coffee so you could tell me how it was.
I do drink coffee.
If they have some pastries, I might stop by.
Sweet. If we have some pastries.
Yeah.
God. All right. I'm done with you guys. All right. On the side of the break, we actually got a little more to talk about with the Astros. Then we'll get into the Texans because they've had a lot of eventful things going on. But Luis Garcia, as I teased a couple segments ago before we got into GameStop talk, he's had another setback. We got to talk about it. Other side of the break. ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.